All right, so I have a question to ask you. Who are we, anyway? I'm speaking to all the members and the friends of Moody Church. Who are we? You know, the word Moody, the name Moody, is famous around the world. When Rebecca and I were in China in 1984, we attended a church there, and when people found out that we were from Moody Church, they knew of us because of the missionaries sent by Moody Bible Institute. The word Moody meant a lot to them. But you know, there are many people who find us very confusing, and with good reason. Let's look at that name, Moody. You and I know that it refers to a famous evangelist of the 19th century, Dwight L. Moody. We know that, but somebody moving from Atlanta to Chicago wouldn't necessarily know that. The people who are in this area may not know that. There's another reason why we're confusing also, and that is because we're not a denomination. If we were, you know, people have file folders in their minds and they want to slot us. And it's so difficult, they don't know where the information is supposed to fit. Now, if we were Baptists, then they'd know about Baptists. If they were Presbyterian, they'd have a vague idea as to what that is, or Methodist, or Catholic. Now, that's something they would understand. But Moody, non-denominational, who are we? Some people think that we're some kind of a cult, like the Moonies. And you know that most people in Chicago think that Moody Church is actually the Church of Moody Bible Institute. And so you have this confusion. So who are we? You know, when you drive past this building and you take a look at it, especially because of its Romanesque architecture, and you see it, it really does not look much like a church. I've had people say, "You mean that big brick building?" That's what they're talking about, not necessarily the church. It looks almost as much as a mosque, like a mosque, as it does a church. By the way, for those of you who are into architecture, it is really only the front part of the building, the Clark Street side, the facade, that is something like St. Sophia in Istanbul, the Church of Holy Wisdom. But this summer, some of us got together for the better part of a day, about 20 of us. Some members of the elder board, executive committee, men, women, a cross-section of the church. And what we wanted to do is to really help this community define us. We know, of course, that the community obviously defines us in some way or another. They fill in the blank, Moody Church is. And if we don't define ourselves, they will define us according to their inspiration and their liking. What we wanted to do is to come up with a statement that was an accurate reflection of who we were. That was one of the criterion that we had. We wanted to be able to come up with a statement that was accurate, that was very brief, the kind of statement that when you hear once, you remember, the kind of statement that you can say to your coworkers if they ask you why it is that you attend Moody Church or what Moody Church is all about. We also wanted to come up with a statement that was really free of religious jargon so that this generation would understand what it was all about. An accurate reflection of who we were, but also a way to describe who we are to the community. Moody Church is a trusted place where anyone can connect with God and others. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, that's really the irreducible minimum. Well, that's what we were after, was that irreducible minimum. And we hope that when you're working down in the loop or out in the suburbs, wherever it may be, and somebody says, well, now, are you telling me you go to Moody Church? For whatever reason, whatever conception they may have, you may be able to say, well, you know, Moody Church is a trusted place where anyone can connect with God and others. What I'd like to do is to preach four messages on this statement, this promise. Today we're going to be talking about our legacy of trust. Next week it is the word anyone, and we're going to talk about God's transnational program where he is saving people from every tongue and every people and every nation, and we as a church are into diversity because God is into diversity. That's next week. And then I'll talk about what it means to connect with God and what it means to connect with others. But today, our legacy of trust. Moody Church is a trusted place. A well-known pastor in California said some time ago, "The winds of change can blow through the country. There is unrest, confrontation, and trouble. But Moody Church stands like a rock. You can go there and know that the gospel will be preached." When Dr. Walvoord was at my installation 23 years ago, he made an interesting statement. He said that many churches that were begun in the 1800s, and we, of course, were begun in 1864, have become liberal. But he said, throughout the years, there has been no pastor of Moody Church who even has given the hint of liberalism. Now, when we speak of Moody Church as a trusted place, we're not bragging. As a matter of fact, as I shall point out before this message is over, that I'm sure that there are times when we have broken that trust. There are times when people have been disappointed in us. But at the end of the day, I want you to know that Moody Church has a reputation of a name that is trustworthy. And that fragile gift of trust is what we have inherited, and it is that gift that we will pass on to the next generation. Let me invite you today to make three commitments. The text really is the 8th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy that we shall look at briefly today. Today's message is a little different from most. But the three commitments briefly are these. First of all, we must celebrate our past. We must celebrate our past. That's what God told Moses to do in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says in verse 2, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." And later on in the middle of verse 10, God says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God and the way that he has led you." People are sometimes confused with the past. They ask themselves the question, what shall we do with it? Well, I like what Pastor Wiersbe says. He says, the past should be used not as an anchor, but rather as a rudder. Not as a hitching post, but as a guidepost. Not as a coffin, but a cradle. Not as a museum, but a laboratory. The past is beneficial. Could I take out a moment today and just talk about our past? You know, of course, Dwight L. Moody, coming to us from Massachusetts, the area there of Boston, converted, but coming as a shoe salesman and making tons of money. As a matter of fact, I read, this is hard to believe, but he was talking about $5,000 a year, which was absolutely phenomenal in those days, back in the 1800s. But he comes to Chicago and he begins to get a burden for children, and he goes to what is known as the Sands. The Sands was the north side, south of here, but close to the lake, which was the ghetto area in those days. It was also called a little hell. And he would get children there and give them candy apples, and he had all kinds of ideas, creative ideas, to get the kids to come. And then he rented pews at the Plymouth Church. In those days, you had to rent them and you had to pay for them, and he had 4 pews which he filled up, and soon people began to say, we're not sure whether we want all these kids here. And furthermore, he was bringing too many, so he began his own Sunday school, first of all in a boxcar, and then later on in a square, in a hall that he would clean up from the night before. And that's where Sunday school was held, and that's where President-elect Lincoln stopped by. Thanks to John Farwell, who was a prominent businessman in those days, he invited Lincoln to Moody's Sunday school. And the story is that Moody was sitting in the back, or I should say, Lincoln was sitting in the back and had agreed to come as long as he would not be asked to speak. But at the end of the time, Moody said, the president-elect is with us and he has asked that he not speak, but perhaps he has something to say, in which case we'd be very glad to hear it. And Lincoln spoke and told the young people that he too was poor and that someday perhaps they also could become the president of the United States. 1864, the first church was founded. And by the way, D.L. Moody never was the pastor. In fact, recently on the radio, somebody said, now D.L. Moody was the first pastor. No, he was not. D.L. Moody was an evangelist. It's interesting to read some of the original minutes. They say, let's pray for Brother Moody, who was a deacon, because he's having a crusade in London. That's the way the minutes read, or in England. And so the people prayed for him, but he was just a deacon of the church, but he founded it with 12 members way back in 1864. Now, all of you historians know that 1871, the Great Chicago Fire comes, Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicks over the lantern, at least that's the legend. And by the way, I've been where that happened. The barn is no longer there, but there is a fire station there. Great idea, right where the Chicago fire began. And then the church moved to temporary quarters for about 18 months after that, and they distributed supplies to the people who were in great need after the fire. And then a church was built where Moody Bible Institute is today, and I wish I could show you pictures of that church. It was really quite a church, but when LaSalle Street was widened, it had to be torn down. And they came up here north, and I want you to know that right next to the church where the bank is today, that's where the tabernacle was for 10 years, where Paul Rader preached to large crowds, and then Philpott was the pastor who said to the congregation, let us arise and build. He was a Canadian. Very interesting that God uses diversity throughout his kingdom. And so Philpott, under his leadership, this church was built. Now, I need to tell you that D.L. Moody never preached here. He never preached here. We have people who come from all over the country and they want to see the church and then they want to stand behind the pulpit. They say, I want to stand where D.L. Moody stood. Well, my friend, look, just between you and me, let's do the math, okay? Moody dies in 1899. This church is dedicated in 1925. You get the picture? D.L. Moody never preached here. But Billy Graham has preached here. Billy Sunday has preached here. A dear old saint wrote me a letter just a couple of months ago and said that she was here when Billy Sunday would jump from the upper platform to the lower platform, not using the stairs. Now, you have to understand, Billy Sunday was into drama. Well, he preached here, and his funeral was here. And many other notables have preached here. Daryl Worley has preached here. Why should we even look at the past? For two reasons. First, because when we look at the past, we see the primacy of the gospel. D.L. Moody's heart burned as an evangelist. He believed that nobody was so drunk but that God could save him. Nobody was so immoral but that God could cleanse him. Nobody was so rejected but that God could receive him. And that was the passion of D.L. Moody's heart, the primacy of the gospel. Secondly, the primacy of people. On the original church were these words, ever welcome in this house are the strangers and the poor. You say, well, is it also on this church? And the answer is yes. When you leave here, you can look at the cornerstone, and just above the cornerstone, there is a wall plaque made of metal on the bricks that talks about D.L. Moody, but then it has that quote that everyone is welcome, and that's why that little word everyone occurs in the statement that I've talked to you about, and I will preach about that next week. Everyone is welcome. Ever welcome in this house are the strangers and the poor. And so that's our legacy, and that's what we must carry to this generation and generations beyond. So we must celebrate our past. We must also build upon the past. We have to build upon it. That's exactly what God told Moses to do. He said, Moses, you're going into a new era. You're going into a new generation. And what you need to do is to recognize that there are things that God taught you there in the desert in your past that you are going to find beneficial for your future. So build upon that past. Now, when we think of building upon the past, we have to know what changes and what remains the same. And when you stop to think of it, there are many churches and organizations that don't know what to do with the past. Some of them just totally discard it. and they discard the good with the bad. And then there are those who look at the past and say, all that we're going to do is to repeat the past. And so what they do is they take that church or organization and it becomes encased in concrete because they say, all that we hang on to is the past. God help us to know the difference between what changes and what should abide. What changes? Well, buildings change. I've already pointed out that D.L. Moody did not preach here. And this building, by the way, becomes very costly, dedicated in 1925. And yet how we thank God for our trustees who take such good care of it. If you haven't heard yet, you're sitting in an air-conditioned building. God be thanked after many, many years. And so, but buildings change. This is not the location of the original church. Of course, leadership changes. We think of some of the pastors of the past like Ironside and Redpath, two of them that are still living besides myself, Sweeting and Wearsby. I happen to have the privilege of being the 16th pastor of Moody Church, but obviously most of them have gone to heaven. The congregation changes. I have in my study a picture of this congregation, that is of this building, taken in the 1940s when Ironside was here, and the balcony was pretty well full, and the photographer had such good equipment back then that you can make out the faces of people in the balcony. And I had people come and say, you know, that's my mother, that's my grandmother. Especially if you use a magnifying glass, you can actually identify them. But I dare say that nobody who is here for that picture is with us today. Because people change, congregations change, styles change. You should just see some of the pictures back then. In fact, some of us, haven't we, Jerry? We've been old enough to live through several different styles, if you're talking about clothes. But styles of worship also change. There are those who say, well, we need only one style of worship, and that's the only style of worship. You know, since we're honoring Jerry today, we think of music. And we think of how music has changed. And what we need to do is to incorporate the good of contemporary music. We need to understand that there are these things that change. We honor the past, and yet we also embrace the present as it honors God. And so in the process, we recognize that these things change. Well, what does not change? The Bible says, the grass withers, the flower fades, because the word of the Lord blows upon it. But the word of our God shall stand forever. The Bible does not change, and it is our legacy. Let me say also that the Spirit of God does not change. I delight in the fact that God brings the past and the present together. I cannot get over the fact that the same Holy Spirit who converted the Apostle Paul is the same Holy Spirit that converted me at the age of 14 in a farm home. And the same Holy Spirit that has converted you. And the same Jesus Christ who appeared to the Apostle Paul is the same Jesus Christ who has saved us. And it would be heresy to say that the Holy Spirit is older today than he was on the day of Pentecost. Obviously, the Spirit is always fresh and new, and he ministers to each generation. But it is God who ties the past and the present together and unifies them. I am the Lord. I do not change. The gospel does not change. And so if we want to be a place that has indeed a legacy of trust, we must not only celebrate the past, but we have to build upon the past. We must always remember those great truths that have made the church great. And may we never lose them. You know what the Bible says in this passage? In the very last verse of Deuteronomy 8, it says in verse 19, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will be destroyed. And I was thinking, I know that this is strong to say, but I'll say it and then later maybe regret it, but listen to me. If Moody Church ever preaches another gospel, if it ever preaches about other gods, if it ever collapses into the spirituality of the New Age movement where Jesus Christ is not uniquely preached as the Christ of the Son of God, may we then be destroyed, because we were built. We were built upon the gospel that changes lives and may it ever be proclaimed. But there's a third commitment that we have to make, certainly to the past and to build upon that in the present, and that is we have to embrace the future. And we have to embrace the future with courage and with joy. On the one hand, I'm thinking of us socially and culturally in America. What a future it is. It's a time of the breakup of the home when people don't know how to connect with others. It's a time when we are in a free fall morally. It's a time when people are afraid of terrorism. It's a time when, in many ways, Christianity is being marginalized. What a day to be alive and to live for Jesus. That's the way I look at it. But furthermore, I'm thinking of us personally as a church and the challenges that we face. A couple of years ago, we bought a plot of land next to Moody Church here, that little small parking lot, for $1.5 million. Now, we do own already the other buildings that are on it, and we hope to build a family life center there. What a challenge. And then this summer, we bought the parking lot across the street for $3.8 million. Did I get that right? Did I say it right? 3.8 million. I cannot tell you the stares that I get from my friends in Canada when I tell them that we have a parking lot that holds about 50 cars for $3.8 million. I need to tell you that you could buy most of southern Saskatchewan for $3.8 million. I'm serious. Especially if you did it with American money. But as a real estate man told me one time, there are only three things that are important about property. The first is location, the second is location, and the third is location. And isn't it wonderful to think that we're a growing church and therefore we need it and we need to make that investment, and you'll be hearing more about that investment. But what we need to do, folks, is to embrace that future with joy and say, here's the challenge, let us walk through the door of opportunity. But now to this business of trust. We live at a time when trust is in such short supply. There are accounting firms that we once trusted. I was so naive, I thought that accounting firms existed to audit books to make sure that there was no shenanigans going on. That's how naive I was. Why did I ever get a lesson? We have a time when people in positions of authority and priests are accused of sexual abuse. And it's not just in the Catholic Church, it's in the Protestant Church too. It's all over. We live at a time with great sexual deviancy and brokenness. And so people are beginning to ask, well, who can you trust? Isn't that the question? Who can you trust? Don't you hear that on television all the time? You have so much faith in a person and you believe in a person, and the Bible warns us, cursed is he who trusts in man, because every one of us is capable of great failure and great losses of integrity. What are people looking for in a church? This may not be the right order, but I'll give them to you. First of all, financial integrity. They want a church that they can trust. And I need to stand here today and tell you that our finance committee holds to the highest standards of financial integrity. When you give to Moody Church, you know that it's going to whatever you designated to go. You know that those funds are going to be considered as gifts from God, for whom we are very much accountable. Financial integrity, moral integrity. People want to believe. They want to believe in people. They want to believe that essentially we are good and trustworthy. Doctrinal integrity, and I've already emphasized that. And this, my friend, is our legacy. But how do we do it? First of all, we have to always begin at the basics, and that is to trust a trusted Savior, a trusted Savior. At the end of the day, it's God in whom we trust. I have the privilege occasionally of speaking at Promise Keeper rallies, and as Promise Keeper speakers, we're supposed to keep our promises, and we try to do so, and I trust God by his help, we do, but I'm sure we don't keep those promises perfectly. But I want you to know today that God is the original Promise Keeper. What we must understand is that God does not ask us to come to him to make a promise that we cannot keep, but to receive from him promises that we know that he can keep. Paul says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What a wonderful thing to live with that kind of confidence in someone you can trust, whose word is trustworthy. D.L. Moody said that there are two ways to go to heaven. There's first class and second class. Second class is this verse of scripture when it says, when I am afraid, I trust. He said, that'll take you to heaven, but that's second class. First class, he said, is I will trust and not be afraid. Where we trust up front, where we believe, and we keep going back to God, we begin with a trusted Savior. Secondly, trusted people. Trusted people. I hope that we are a church of integrity. I hope that people can trust us with their friendships. I hope that people can trust us with their children and how we ought to be praying continually for their protection, especially as our ministries grow and become more spread out. And so what we do is we recognize today that we have a legacy. And at the end of the day, there's no such thing as a trusted church. There's only really trusted people, and people who go on believing and trusting God, and friendships are formed, and sacrifices are made, because we believe that we have a legacy to pass on to our children and our children's children. This past summer, my wife and I were in Normandy. It's hard to get Normandy out of your mind. Could I say that if you ever get a chance to go to France, go to Normandy? And we walked on the Omaha beach. Now, I want you to visualize a beach perhaps 5 or 6 miles long, beautiful beach with waves lapping on the beach. And then you have all of the cliffs. And it was on those cliffs that there were German bunkers. And you can actually go into those German bunkers today. And our men, God bless them, were marching as they came with various boats and ships, and they marched onto the beach, and there they were as the German soldiers mowed them down, and thousands were killed. And that's why there's an American cemetery right there with over 9,000 graves, and another cemetery with 3,000 names of those who are missing in action. But the point I want to make today is that the glue that held that whole operation together was fundamentally trust. Those soldiers trusted their leaders. They trusted General Eisenhower. But they also trusted one another, because I'm told that in the army, if loyalty and trust breaks down, everything breaks down. You can't win a war unless there's this fundamental dimension of trust. And that's why they do so many different kinds of maneuvers together. Obviously, it's to practice them, but also to develop trust. I want you to know today that if we become, or stay, I should say, as a trusted place, where people know, this is a place where I can go to hear God's word, this is a place where I can form friendships, this is a place where I can get involved, this is a place where our children are safe, we can take on the enemy. And though there may be some casualties, we can win. And I invite you today to join us, to be the church that we can be, a church that can help change a city, that can change the world. May it ever be said, Moody Church is a trusted place. Yesterday, I asked one member of our staff, who shall not be identified, to go throughout the neighborhood and ask people what they thought of Moody Church. He didn't get a chance to do it as extensively as he wanted to, but he said that on a bench over just toward the lake, there was an African-American man, and he said, when I say Moody Church, what comes to mind? And the man says, well, you know, from what I know, he says, it's a place where anyone can go and really enjoy and benefit from their ministries and worship. worship time. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing for somebody to say? You know, that almost sounds like Moody Church is a trusted place where anyone can connect with God and others. And may it ever be so. God helping us. Let's pray. Father, we recognize that trust is so fragile. We recognize, Father, that it is such a precious gift that should it ever become corroded, should it ever be called into question, sometimes it can almost never be replaced. God, would you grant us that gift? You have trusted us with a great ministry. Help us, Father, to be a church in which people believe, not because of us, but because of our Savior. Help us to love your word and the gospel. And may, O God, that be the primacy and the centrifugal force of our lives and ministries. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.